JC Corcoran Podcast.
Because it's always a pleasure to introduce a new comedian to The Tonight Show. This young man's name is Jay Leno, and this is his first appearance on The Tonight Show. Later this year, he's going to make his film debut in The Silver Bears with Michael Caine, which is not bad. Would you welcome, please, Jay Leno. Jay?
I'm originally from the United States. Any United States people here tonight? What a small world. Isn't that funny, no matter where you're from? You know, I've been out of California for about 4 or 5 months. And I just got back, and I notice now, when you call directory assistance here, you get a recorded message.
If you're unable to find the number in your directory, please stay on the line. An operator will assist.
Called the weather today.
Have you looked outside?
You reading about the weather back east? What's been happening in Buffalo and Pittsburgh? Yeah. All right.
This man will back me up.
It's the same man who talks to the television at home.
Look out, call Jack. Thanks, viewer.
Just to give you an idea how cold it is back there, heard on the radio today, it snowed on the sun this morning. It's very chilly. We were just sitting in a green room watching the local news before. I always get a kick out of newsmen, because newsmen always use the same metaphors.
Another senseless killing early today in mid-Manhattan.
Senseless as opposed to what? Sensible killing?
Man was beaten and robbed of 12 cents on the west side, a senseless killing, whereas in the east side, a $1,000 killing, very sensible.
And newsmen always say things like,
Americans were shocked today when they learned.
Let's face it, nothing shocks us anymore. They just tell the truth.
World came to an end today. Most Americans couldn't give a damn about the whole thing. Give me a hamburger and some gasoline.
And why is it in this country, whenever someone commits a horrible crime, newsmen always go to the criminal's old neighborhood and interview his friends? And people always say the same things about criminals. Bob Johnson? Yeah, kind of a loner.
Seemed like a nice fellow. Always said hello.
They should put some real neighbors on the news.
I knew that jerk could pull a stunt like this. They should have locked that bozo up 5 years ago.
See, if you watch enough TV, you get the impression that people are really uptight. You ever see that commercial where the husband is so insecure, can't even tell his wife she makes a terrible cup of coffee? More coffee, honey?
No, thanks, dear. I think I'll just get an apartment downtown.
I like commercials that try to be helpful. You ever seen that ad for milk? A little woman comes out, she goes, "Hi, here are some great new ideas for milk. How about milk with cookies? There's a new one, huh? Throw you for a loop. How about milk with a sandwich? Honey, get the recipe book. This stuff is amazing." All these years, been pouring milk over pizza and fish. Who knew? You ever see David Jansen's commercial for Excedrin? Man, looks like a headache. See, when I was a kid, We are never allowed to have headaches. See, my folks grew up during the Depression. So consequently, they make you feel very guilty about everything, you know? I mean, even now I go home for a weekend. Hey, Dad, pass the salt.
We never had salt when we were kids. We had to live without salt. We didn't have underwear or potatoes. We ate dirt every day of the week. Your mother and I hunted wild dog for food. We had nothing when we were your age.
Let's pass the stall, will you, Dad? See, parents cannot understand going from college into something as unstable as show business. I was a philosophy major for 4 years in college. Had dreams of opening a little philosophy shop when I got out.
Life is a Twinkie. $5. Something to fall back on, eh?
College kids now. See, college kids now are really into the environment, which is a good issue. But do you think people will care about the environment in 100 years? I wonder if kids will hang around saying things like,
remember that old shopping mall where we used to play pinball? There's a lake there now.
Californians really into the environment. You know what I see a lot of out here, always amazing me, are those Winnebagos. Those big mobile homes people drive around. Do not understand why anybody would buy a mobile home. Can you imagine saying to your wife,
honey, I'm taking the house down, get a pack of cigarettes. Why don't you wait here?
And how do you raise kids in a mobile home?
Hello, son, where do you live?
I'm right now living on exit 9 of the New Jersey Turnpike. We just got a flat tire. It's the longest we've lived anywhere. Suppose you're a kid, you just got your license. Dad, I got a date Friday. Can I take the house?
Sure, son. Your mother and I will wait here by the side of the road.
Thank you very much.
Take a bow, Jay. Jay Leno. Come on.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
It is Friday, September 17th here at JCOnTheLine.com. Isn't it fascinating to listen to that very first appearance of Jay Leno on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson? And, you know, I rarely missed one of those shows, and I don't ever remember anybody being called back out to take a bow after he was, you know, Jay Leno was like already in the car. And it took a long time for them to find him and bring him back out. And he came out and he took a bow. And I don't ever remember a new comedian on The Tonight Show getting that treatment from Johnny Carson. You know, the famous stories are that if Johnny, you know, sort of gives you the okay sign, or if he waves you over to come over and sit down at the desk with him, that's sort of like, you know, change your life as a comedian. But this was actually something better than that. He didn't invite him over, but like I said, he has him come back out and take a bow. Pretty fascinating stuff right there. An explanation on yesterday and why I was not here. Okay, so right now I'm taking about 14 pills a day. You know, I got this blood thinner because I had the two stents put in a couple of months ago. All right. So you got to take these pills so that the stents don't move. And then I've got cholesterol issues, and I got, you know, the blood thinner. And then you got blood pressure. You got that too. Plus, I got a little arthritis in my left hip. So I'm taking stuff for that. I got all this sort of stuff. And then I've got the killer pills that only come out in emergencies, like when my back totally goes out, or there's just something so painful you can't even stop it anymore. But you can't get that stuff anymore. It's almost impossible to get those things prescribed after that giant scandal involving that family from Indiana who jacked up the prices on the, like, oxycodone and stuff like that, and really caused an epidemic of overdoses in these pills that take away the pain but also take away your ability to not take them after the pain is gone, if you know what I mean. and they promoted the crap out of these things. And then after there was an epidemic, then they're like, who, what, us? What are you talking about? So now you can't really get the good stuff. It's like my hip is killing me. Ouch. And they're like, Tylenol? Like, Tylenol? I want you as a doctor to calculate how many pills would kill me and then maybe back it off by this much. But you can't get them to do that anymore. They won't do it. But anyhow, one of my doctors, and I was just to the doctor, I was actually to two doctors this week. I had never been to a dermatologist in my life. What had happened once is my daughter was born with this little red spot on her forehead, and we took her to see a dermatologist in St. Louis. And while I was there, I just said to her, I said, just, you know, while I'm here, what about this thing right here on my temple? And she's like, oh, no, that's precancerous. You got to get that off of there. But she was not in my network. And so I ended up going to a different doctor. So I was at two doctors this week. But I take all these pills, and they started me on a brand new pill day before yesterday. I took the pill for the very first time on Wednesday night. It interacted with something else that I'm taking, and I woke up at 11:45 yesterday morning. 11:45 is what time I woke up. And I was like, oh, shit, I missed everything, didn't I? I slept through the alarm, the whole thing. So that's my explanation for yesterday. I'm not taking that pill anymore. How about that? Some of you are going to start wondering if Tom Brady is taking some sort of fountain of youth shit. He was asked the other day if he could play football until he's 50. He said, I can play and just glide into retirement. Yes, I think I can. Tom just turned 44, and if he's thinking he wants to be the oldest player in the NFL, he doesn't have to go all the way to 50. George Blanda is the current record holder. He was 48 when he played his final game in 1975. And that was sort of cheating, too, because at the end of his career, like the last 10 years he played, he was a place kicker. Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings are going to split Jeopardy hosting duties for the rest of the year. I'm telling you, the drama at the Jeopardy place is just God. Elton John is going to be in hip surgery after sustaining a bad fall this summer. He's still going to perform at the Global Citizen Live event on September 25th, but he's postponing his European tour dates to 2023. Elton is no longer a spring chicken. And you got to wonder if those dates are ever going to actually occur. St. Louis's own Cedric the Entertainer hosts the Emmys on Sunday night. And even though tonight's Seth Meyers is a repeat, I want you to make a mental note. If you didn't catch this when it aired about 2 weeks ago, you might want to hit the DVR record button because it's really remarkable. John Mulaney, the stand-up comedian and the guy who was a writer on Saturday Night Live, wrote all the Stefan pieces for Bill Hader. And, you know, he just came out of rehab. And what you will hear is something you rarely, rarely hear and see on network television. And that is somebody basically, I don't want to say he's being grilled by Seth Meyers, but Seth Meyers was the guy who sort of led the intervention along with a couple of other comedian and show business friends. And they finally just cornered John Mulaney and said, you've got to get your ass into rehab. And so he did, and he came out, and they go into a lot of detail. It's really remarkable. I'm not overselling this. I'm telling you, this is not something you normally see on network TV, so you might want to catch that tonight, like I said, even though it's a rerun. And speaking of drama, and we just were a moment ago about the Jeopardy thing, Wendy Williams, you know, you really have to wonder at this point whether or not this is all hype, whether we're being manipulated. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't watch her show. I think it's absolutely absurd television. So now she was reportedly taken to a hospital for a mental health check earlier this week. One day earlier, they announced that her show was going to be starting, you know, with new shows. Everybody's off for the summer, and that the new shows were going to be delayed by something like a month. Like I said, I don't know what to believe on this, and I also don't care. And one more medical health note in terms of show business and celebrities. Phil Collins does not think the Genesis reunion tour is going to continue past this year, and he's not playing the drums anymore. He can't. He's got so much neurological damage. I remember doing this story in the old morning show, Grandma and K-Hits. That's how far back this story goes about, you know, the fact that he can't even wipe his own butt anymore. He can't get his arms to move and stuff. Is really, really sort of a sad story. and sort of ridiculous all at the same time. Birthdays this weekend. Rita Rudner. She's a delightful gal and very, very smart. And I don't know, since about like 20 years now, she said, this is bullshit going out on the road doing comedy clubs. She started up a Vegas residence, and she's been doing that now. She's into her 21st year on that. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, 70. Phil Jackson, Zen master and retired L.A. Lakers coach, is 76. Jason Sudeikis getting the last laugh on everybody with this TV show he's got now. He's 46. Jada Pinkett Smith, 50. Lance Armstrong, 50. Aisha Tyler, oh, I like her. I think she is just knockout beautiful, 51. Dr. Ben Carson, Trump's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, world famous somnambulist. Dr. Ben is a 70. Frankie Avalon, 81. Robert Blake is still alive. God, I forgot he's still kicking at 88. Sunday birthdays, Jimmy Fallon, 47. Sherry O'Terry, formerly of Saturday Night Live, 59. Tracy Morgan, for some reason, did not like her. They were on the show together, and Tracy once said, that bitch can't even get arrested. He did not like her. Joan London, formerly of Good Morning America, 71, dated Kevin Costner briefly, and worked with Dave Murray for a while, too, 71. Twiggy, 72, Jeremy Irons, and around my house, you know, with an 11-year-old, all I think of, you know, a lot of people would probably say, well, you know, maybe one of those Die Hard movies, or Batman versus Superman, or Alfred in Justice League, or his role in Reversal of Fortune. But around here, he's the voice of Scar. Jeremy Irons, 73. Randolph Mantooth, paramedic John Gage on Emergency, 76. Bill Medley, your Righteous Brothers, 81. David McCallum, depends on, you know, your age. For a lot of people, he's Ducky from NCIS. We all know him as Ilya Kuryakin from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He's 88. Today is Constitution Day. And in an annual poll, only 56% of people could correctly name all three branches of government. Yeah. Executive, legislative, and judicial, by the way. Also in the poll, 74% of people correctly stated the First Amendment protects freedom of speech, but fewer people knew that it also protects freedom of religion, freedom of the press, the right to assembly, and the right to petition. That said, a lot of people misunderstand what freedom of speech is. They asked him if the First Amendment means Facebook must let all users freely express themselves on the website, and 61% said yes. And that's not true. Freedom of speech, the Constitution, got nothing to do with Facebook. And also, people think that free speech means absolute free speech. Like, you can just say whatever you want, whenever you want to, wherever you are. None of that is true. Can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. You can't slander somebody. There's a lot of things that you can't say. Freedom of speech is not an absolute entitlement. It protects you from government censorship, but social media companies are private, so they can censor you all they want. And it doesn't protect you from being canceled. There's nothing protecting you from being held accountable for what you say. Oh, I got a friend who's going to like this story. Imagine you're at a friend's house. They offer to open up a nice bottle of wine, and then you uncork this. You can now buy rosé in wine bottles shaped like a guy's junk. They're not really intended for classy dinner parties. Some guy came up with the idea while talking to his buddies about how their wives had been to so many bachelorette parties with phallic straws and cups. So that's their target market. The brand is, the brand name is pretty clever. The wine is called Just the Tipsy. Just the Tipsy. They're on sale right now at tipsybrand.com. $33 a bottle plus shipping. They only have rosé right now. No other types of wine. Don't tell me. Let me guess. You're going to shake it up and then uncork it so it shoots all over everything. You look like Peter North, whose nickname was Beer Can, or Shaken Beer Can. I think that's what it was. And if you've ever seen Peter North in a pornographic movie, I think you know what I'm talking about. Which brings us to Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, who has revealed that the guys, when they were on tour all the guys in the band would stop having sex with, you know, whatever was drifting around backstage after a show, because all of these guys had wives and girlfriends back home, and, you know, what happens on the road stays on the road. But sometimes, if you're not careful, what happens on the road gets you free admittance to the free clinic. So you got to be careful. But these guys were very devilish in the way they planned this out. No guys in the band had sex in the last 10 days of the tour, so that, in Steven Tyler's words, when the guys got back home to their women, they had plenty of chowder backed up. His words, not mine. And speaking of love, exciting and new, I think Eureka, Missouri is going to start looking like a scene out of the movie Bye Bye Birdie. This from Fox 2 today.
Alrighty, guys, so don't be surprised if you see a camera crew filming in downtown Eureka this weekend.
Mm-hmm. It is speculated that Eureka native Clayton Eckerd will be the next bachelor. Fox 2's Zara Barker is in Eureka, where a lot of excited people lined the streets yesterday hoping to catch him.
The Bachelor franchise hasn't officially announced who's going to be the next bachelor, but I think this sign behind me here in downtown Eureka might be pretty telling. It says, "Go find love, Clayton," and the mayor of Eureka says the franchise paid for this sign.
Honestly, I found out about this like 2 hours ago, and I left work early for it.
Dozens of Eureka residents stopped whatever they were doing Thursday afternoon to try and get a glimpse of the next bachelor.
My mom said, "Oh my God, Lila, there's going to be the bachelor's going to be in town," so I just came over here. I got a couple pictures with him.
It's reported that Eureka native and former Mizzou tight end Clayton Eckerd will be the next bachelor.
He's like going to be on like nationwide TV.
Eckerd and a film crew had a warm welcome back to his hometown.
Those dang dimples. I mean, those dimples would blow any girl out of the water. Can't believe he's on The Bachelor.
Fans wishing they could make it to the final rose ceremony tried to snap a picture as Eckerd and his film crew drove down Central Avenue.
Do you think he's going to find love?
Yeah. Kind of. It depends.
Well, I am married, but don't get me wrong, he's cute.
As fans gawked at the chance to get a glimpse of the next bachelor, Eckerd ended up surprising them.
Hey, Clayton. M-I-Z.
Z. We love you.
After Eckerd's time at Eureka and then Mizzou, he had a professional football tryout with the Seattle Seahawks, but now he's hoping to find the one.
I'm excited. I'm also very, very nervous. I'm looking to find my person.
It seems like some middle school memories for the tight-knit town haven't changed.
All the girls like, "Hey, did you see Clayton today? Did you see Clayton today?"
Everyone there excited to see if this will be the most dramatic season of The Bachelor yet.
And when he got it, I was like, this is very well deserving and a very good highlight for our community.
St. Louis has been in reality TV spotlight lately. Just days ago, Maplewood chef Trenton Garvey was crowned the winner of Fox's Hell's Kitchen. Now, as for The Bachelor, Clayton season will likely air at the beginning of next year. From Eureka, Zara Barker, Fox 2 News.
Since you were only hearing the audio and you couldn't see the video, obviously, it should be noted that a lot of those female voices were from girls who looked like they were about 12 years old. By the way, Zara Barker, who did that report, just got a big promotion at Fox 2. She's going to be, I think 6 o'clock anchor person, co-anchor person. And, you know, the bar has been set pretty low for St. Louis television lately in the last few years. But, you know, she's pretty. She does a good job. And most importantly, doesn't do anything to embarrass herself. And that's really what the standard has become. We're not looking for excellence in journalism. We're just looking for people on television to not do stupid stuff where you just want to put your foot through the TV. St. Louis Cardinals are red hot, and they're red hot at the right time. Don't mess this up now. 2 weeks left in the season, and, you know, we got a chunk of that playoff action right now. Just hold on. Don't do anything stupid. I wish baseball had something that was the equivalent of the prevent defense. If you're paying attention to the baseball telecasts with Dan McLaughlin and the rest of the guys, you probably know this, but it goes by and maybe some people don't really understand. But since the pandemic, the announcers for the Cardinals are not going on the road with the team the way it's been, like, you know, pretty much from the beginning of time. But the guys are all staying, and that's pretty much around the league, by the way. It's not just our broadcasts. So what they do is, you know, when the game is there in St. Louis, they're sitting there in the press box watching it. But when the Cardinals are on the road, they are still in that same press box doing the game from there. And they got, you know, giant television set up and then microphones, and that's how they do the game now for the road trips. Now, here's my question. Isn't that the exact same thing we're doing? Aren't we sitting in a room with a TV on, commenting on the game? Oh, boy, here comes. This is going to be a big pitch, honey. Watch this one now. The whole game is riding on this. Watch it now. Here's the windup in the pit. Oh, no, swinging a grind. Oh, my God, it's home run. And by the way, my voice, you know, went really high right there. I can't get it as high as Ricky Horton when he gets excited, but it's pretty high. But it goes back to what I was saying here. How is what they're doing any different than what I'm doing? And I'm not getting paid. None of us are. We're all sitting in front of a TV commenting about what we are seeing on the screen. It's exactly what the Cardinal announcers get to do now. That ain't right. I'm telling you, the luster is coming off of every job. Jobs that used to be just so glamorous. Now we know they're not. Sunday is Talk Like a Pirate Day. Please don't. A 32-year-old guy in Virginia arrested after robbing the same 7-Eleven four times this summer. He's like, I was in the neighborhood. Two moms in the St. Louis area. Two moms got into a fight outside an elementary school. On Tuesday morning, they both pulled guns. Despite the extreme stupidity, nobody was hurt. BuzzFeed has a rundown of people sharing horrifying stories about getting walked in on while having sex. Some of them are pretty wild. I'm not going to read them here. They're probably better read in the privacy of your own room, wherever you have your computer. That's BuzzFeed. This is nice to hear while some of you are eating breakfast. A Bolivian woman bit into a burger and found a decomposing human finger. Apparently, it's real. Someone lost part of their finger while prepping the meat. I've told this story before, but not recently. When Brett Hull was just at the peak of his popularity, playing with the Blues in St. Louis, this was somewhere in the 1990s, you know, he's scoring goals just at will. He put his brother in charge of a couple of restaurants that he was operating in the St. Louis area. And one was over by the Steak and Shake near Woods Mill and Olive. All right. And they had a restaurant over there. And I was eating there one Saturday night. And I figured, oh, a Caesar salad looks really good. I'm going to get the Caesar salad. So I'm sitting there eating the Caesar salad. And you get that feeling in your mouth like, what the hell is that? And I thought I broke off a tooth because there was something rattling around, but it didn't exactly feel like a tooth because it had like a metal feel to it. And so I was very, very careful. And, you know, 90% of your mouth is full of chewed up salad. You're trying to swallow and you can't because you got this thing in there. I spit it out of my hand and it was a fairly large sized screw. So I called Blake over. Blake was Brett Hall's brother, still is. And I said, I got to talk to you about something. Is there some place we could go in private? He's like, yeah, sure. He takes me back to the kitchen, and I hold out my hand, and there's a screw. I go, this was in my salad. I didn't want anybody out there in the restaurant part of the operation here to see this, but I just almost swallowed a fucking screw. And he looked at it and just looked at me like, are you kidding me? And I went back to my table, finished my dinner, and then Blake came back on and goes, hey, come here. I'm going to show you something. Took me back into the kitchen. And they had one of these giant restaurant-sized salad spinners. You know, when you wash the leaves, and then you probably have a salad spinner at your house, except it's a little plastic thing. Well, in a restaurant, it's a giant metal thing because they put huge amounts of lettuce in there and then pump the thing, and the thing spins around and takes all the water out, and then you eat your salad. Well, like a lot of things that are metal, almost everything, it's held together with screws. And apparently, after using this thing repeatedly, the vibration loosened the screw, and it ends up in my salad. True story. I haven't seen Brett in a while, but he used to tease me about that. On Fridays, we try to do a little science news. We had another SpaceX launch in Florida a couple of nights ago, and now Researchers in England came up with a way to make concrete on other planets without using water. Instead, they literally want to mix Mars dust with the astronauts' blood, sweat, tears, and urine. So if you're mixing a bag of sacrete here on Earth, you put water in there. But on Mars, because there's no water, and any water they would have to be rationed very, very carefully. They're just not, you pee into this thing. You pee into this bag, and then you mix. The part that worries me is, where are they going to get sweat on Mars? Isn't it like 84 degrees below zero during the day? And at night, it's like 400 below. I'm not going to go all the way to Mars and then bleed into a bag or cry into, maybe I will cry into a bag after they take my fucking blood. Oh, and since we were just talking about salad, could you get your coronavirus booster shot by eating a salad someday? Researchers in California are working on a way to put messenger RNA in vegetables so we could eat our vaccines instead of getting a shot. We're all waiting to see what happens. Is there going to be another giant riot in Washington, D.C. tomorrow at the rally? We shall see. And if you were living in St. Louis in the mid-1980s, you'll recall how immensely popular KSDK TV was. There was a time where you could combine the ratings of all of the other television stations in St. Louis at 10 o'clock, and they would not equal the audience share that Channel 5 had, and I was privileged to have been a part of that whole thing. You know, a lot of companies would say, oh, we're that number one. We're so far ahead, number one, we can't even see our competitors because of the curvature of the earth. They're behind us that far. Let's just coast. But Bill Bolster, the amazing general manager at Channel 5 back in the 80s, and the company that owned them, said, no, let's really stomp on them now. And so they spent a lot of money, and I mean a lot of money, on a series of promos. They must have done 40 of these things, 30-second promos, and they were trying to sort of show that the Channel 5 television personalities were just normal people like you and me. And you know, some were sort of corny, but here's the thing. This popped up on the internet the other day. It is a reel of about, it must be 15 minutes of stuff, where a bunch of these promos are in there, and you will see all of these people when they were children. Deanne Lane, I think, was 23. Jennifer Blome was in her early 20s. Pertzborn looks like a child. Mike Bush looks like a child. Art Holliday looks like Gary Coleman. It's just, it's really something to see. And Joe Pollack is on there. A lot of people who aren't in St. Louis anymore. Stan Stovall, Huell Perkins, Dick Ford was probably only in his mid-50s at this time. It's really, really cool. And it's sort of a time capsule as far as I'm concerned, because a lot of the shots in and around St. Louis are going to bring back amazing memories. I mention all this because I put the whole thing on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. You can see that whole thing. And I'm telling you, it is really, really cool to see. You'll laugh really, really hard a couple of times. And finally, researchers say the number of young Americans with diabetes has almost doubled in the last two decades. And the solution seems obvious to me. Low-fat Tide Pods. And that's it. We're done. Thanks. We are here every weekday morning. Well, except yesterday. I wasn't here. I apologized for that already. 7 o'clock Monday through Friday, absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, they are all archived right here and available on multiple platforms. Email me, jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday in the meantime. We've been in this one today. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.